somebody has to write a check to somebody, and that's being done by Exxon. So we're seeing the possibility of some rather very larger powers involved in helping launder this oil money, which, by the way, is a very serious felony of a large number of international crimes, money laundering to support terrorism.
What about that, Mr. Weitz, with Turkey basically appearing to be in cahoots with ISIL, especially in dealing with this oil situation? How important is their role? Because obviously they are helping to fund this entity by actually, as our guest in Atlanta has just explained, as far as the oil flow and making sure that it gets sold. So isn't Ankara, if this is the case, responsible then for the crimes, or at least some of the crimes that ISIL is committing?
Well, we're all sort of struggling with this complexity of what's happening. You've got a situation in which the United States is opposed to the Assad government, it's opposed to ISIL, it's now no longer that close to Turkey, it's trying to support the Kurds, but there's an obvious contradiction in that the main adversary of ISIL is Assad, and they're also uncomfortable with the Maliki government, which is another potential ally. And I think the Turks and everybody else is sort of struggling with this very complex situation. As we've discussed before in the show, in Syria, you've got a complication that the United States fears that if Assad leaves, they'll be replaced by something worse, an ISIL-type government, you know, an al-Qaeda-linked group. And I think the Turks are torn with this as well. As I said, they help create the conditions and empower give momentum, impart momentum to the forces that created ISIL, and we've seen them this cause havoc throughout the region, and now it's starting to hurt them, and it's unclear to me to what extent different parts of the Turkish national security establishment are shifting their views. They're also struggling with the issue of Kurdish identity. For the longest time, they opposed independent Kurdish state, but now they're openly discussing it, and it's perhaps a buffer in northern Iraq, but then there are implications for Turkey itself, for Syria, for Iran, and so on, which they really don't want to address.
All right, stay with me, please, both our guests. I want to cross over and check out some of the comments that have put on our Facebook wall.
Erdogan will never change. Even if he wins, nothing will change. What proof do you have that Turkey supports ISIL? ISIL is actually working against Turkey. ISIL is driving the Turkmens in parts of Iraq out of very powerful positions. Turkey supports the Free Syrian Army, FSA, but members of the FSA are joining ISIL. Definitely there will be a shift in Turkey's foreign policy. Viva forever, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. You're a real hero in Islam. Tayyip is the supporter of ISIL and a puppet of America. Erdogan has to change his scenario in Syria and Iraq after witnessing terrorism and extremism there. He should make a big apology to those people.
Well, let's look at that, Mr. Dean. There are many paradoxes in the situation. We look at Turkey and its relationship with many entities. As Mr. Weitz had pointed out, he looked back at the Marmara incident, and of course we know on the one hand that Erdogan was very adamant when he was talking to Shimon Peres. However, we also know that actually nothing happened in the ground, and the Israeli embassy was still there and Israeli companies and still functioning, so basically nothing really happened. Now we look at this situation. On the one hand, as you've seen, some of our viewers are saying, what proof do you have actually they're working hand in hand with ISIL? And you just talked about, first of all, the oil and the overall situation. However, what is trying to be shown perhaps is something different. The bottom line to this is, why would Erdogan want to work with these extremist elements? What is he getting, or what does he think will be attained for propping up the more extreme elements in the region?
Well, as Mr. Weiss said, it's a very complex political situation, which Turkey is the country has always been at a key area between East and West. And the politics there and the intrigue has gone on for centuries. But we have to look at it a little broader, because you can say not only Erdogan, but look at the Gulf states and their support for these not only terrorist operations, but fielding terrorist groups in brigade formations. We were really stunned when we saw that they were actually funding brigades. In fact, there were advertisements in Saudi Arabia where it was almost like you could buy a piece of a football club by putting $1,000 in, and you could have a video made of a beheading for a certain amount of money. It was absolutely incredible. And of course, the Gulf states are also at risk, that once these terrorist groups, as we see, they may be dependent on them in the beginning for funding, but they're smart enough to realize that while they're out there in the field, they've got to rob and steal everything they can get, form other relationships, so they're not totally dependent on one group. And then they can turn around and bite the hand that feeds them, which means they can be paid off once the war is over, rather than be cast aside as the Americans did with the Taliban after the Soviet-Afghan war. And that came back to bite us in the behind.
Well, Mr. White
said, lastly, as we always have in politics, is they never accept responsibility for their mistakes.
Okay, Mr. White said, overall, now that Erdogan has been elected as president, we know that he had served his three maximum terms as prime minister, and he has promised to actually change the ceremonial position. What do you think we're likely to see? Do you think that we're likely to see some changes, especially when we're talking about from the international perspective and these alliances, strange alliances that he has made? Or do you think that it will continue, Turkey will continue on the same path that it has been going?
What I think will happen, we don't know what powers will accrue to the new president in practice, but normally a president gets control over national security, so this would be foreign and defense policy, in which case we'll probably see the same kind of policies we've seen so far, this sort of erratic combination of trying to make friends with everybody, but taking actions that antagonize them. So I think we're sort of going to see this continue. I think okay. Erdogan, just by temperament, he's a very inflammatory individual, and I think that impacts the policy. I think his foreign minister is a bit more steady and reflective, but his influence waxes and wanes over time.
All right, Mr. Dean, how likely are the policies that have already been implemented by Erdogan likely to backfire, as we have seen him support these extremist elements? And of course, being that Turkey is secular itself, how likely is this all likely to backfire and blow up in his face right there in Turkey itself?
Well, it easily could, and his relations with the military are strained because of all the trials and some of his opposition. Still, he's been cleaning out the military and now also the police. So he could find himself in a no man's land where when he needs the security people, they're not really sure where he's going to stand, because he said, you know, you can use us one day to help you and save you and support you, and then you can be prosecuting us a year or a couple years from now. So I think we're going to see a very delicate balancing act as people juggling for influence and power.
Okay.
And it's really an indeterminate.
All right, I'm so sorry, but we're out of time. I appreciate you being with us. Mr. Jim W. Dean out of Atlanta, Veterans Today. And out of Washington, Mr. Richard Weitz from Senior Fellow Hudson Institute. And viewers, we appreciate you being with us for another debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much, and goodbye.